Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy and chapter number 3. The book of 1 Timothy and chapter number 3. Whenever we're not currently in a series or we have some extra time, we're bouncing into our mini-series of labor in the church with the idea that everyone has a part to play within God's work, that God has something for you. I was encouraged today. I had a telephone call by someone, and they said, I want to be more helpful in the church. God's been working. The series has been working. I want to find out how to be more involved in the church. Great. Wonderful. There is room for everyone. Everyone has a part to play. And being a member of a local church has great benefits, but it also has a responsibility. We're going to look at that responsibility tonight as we look at the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 3. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 3. And notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 14. 1 Timothy, chapter 3, in verse number 14, the Word of God says this. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou oughtest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, notice that phrase that we find in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. How thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. It says, how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. For a title, we'll just shorten it up a little bit. How to behave in the house of God. How to behave in the house of God. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just thankful for us to be able to meet, even on an off day, and these folks coming to be faithful to your house. We're asking that you would reward them, that you wouldn't waste their time, but you would give them something good, something for them, something to be a help. And you would strengthen up this local church because of this message, the decisions, and the understanding that we get from this passage. Lord, once again, I depend upon you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, to give me what I need to be a good pastor and to give the Word of God to these good folks. Help us to have a good understanding. Help us to have a good knowledge. And Lord, that you would get victories because of what your Word says. Thank you that we could trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul has a desire to come back to Timothy, who is currently pastoring the church of Ephesus. And he's telling Timothy, remember that the book of Timothy is written to a pastor, not to a church. And he's instructing a pastor all throughout this book of how to pastor this church. Now, Timothy is not a young teenager. He's in his 40s. He's been working with Paul for quite a while. But Timothy is Paul's son in the faith, and he's trying to give him some encouragement, trying to help him a little bit longer, and help him to have an understanding of what he needs to teach the church folks, so that way that church, that local church in Ephesus, could go further. Now, we're thankful that God also used this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to record these things that we could learn for ourselves. How we are, what role do we play within a local church? And now he's telling him that I plan on coming to you, but if I'm delayed, I want you to have all the information so you can still behave the way that you ought to be as a member of that local church, whether I'm there or whether I'm not. Now, we want to understand this phrase, how do we behave ourselves in the house of God? What is that speaking about? Is that talking about that how to behave ourselves in a church service that we're not supposed to nod off or take pencils and kind of make holes in the pews or like write in the song books. I heard of a preacher said he was visiting a church and he grabbed a song book when they were singing and it opened up and the very top of it, it said, turn to page number 53. He was curious, kind of like a choose your own adventure book for those who remember that. And he looked and said, turn to 53. And it said, turn to 263. Okay, turn to 263. Turn to 589. 589. It said, turn to page number 439. So he turned to 439. And then it said, aren't you glad you did all that? I mean, just some kid got bored and just started writing. Don't do that. But that's not what this passage is saying, is how to sit in church and be nice and understand. It's going way beyond that. It's trying to say, how do I behave myself as a member of your local church? Not just how to sit in the pew, but remember, you're a member of the local church. Your membership doesn't stop when you leave the doors. You're a member of this local church on Tuesday, on Friday night, Saturday morning. You're a member of this local church. Well, someone will say, well, what does that mean? How does that apply? How am I supposed to behave myself as a member of the Riverview Baptist Church? And that's a legitimate question, and that should be something that we should be able to answer. Now, we have the clues and understanding how in this passage, when it begins to speak about the house of God. Notice it says, but if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. Here it's talking about that how you need to behave as a member of a church, of a local church. Now, in this one verse, there are three ways that the local church is being referred to. And as we study each of these three references, these three descriptions, we'll get a better understanding of how we ought to behave ourselves as a member of a local church, and in specific, those who are members of the Riverview Baptist Church. That's something we probably ought to know. So if you don't mind, let's look at these three descriptions of a local church and see how it applies to us of how we should behave ourselves. Notice the first description that is used here for a local church. Verse 15, once again, but if I tarry long, thou oughtest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. The very first description of a local church in this verse here is the house of God. The house of God. Now, this is an important description because the idea of the house of God is used throughout the Bible. It's used in the Old Testament and it's used in the New Testament. Now, let's just break it down. What does it mean, house of God? Well, let's just go simple. What does it mean to have a house? The word house literally carries the idea of covering, and it carries the idea of a dwelling place. If you have a house, that's where you hang your hat at. That's where you dwell. That's where you sleep. That's where you go back to. A house is a dwelling place. We could understand that because, as far as I know, everyone has somewhere to go after this service. No one's going to stay in the cardboard box outside. You have somewhere to go to. You have a dwelling place. You have a place that you call your house. Whether you own it or you rent it, it is your house. It's your dwelling place. It's the place where you go to be at. Well, notice the description. It is the house of God. What does that mean? It means it's the dwelling place of God. Now, we know that God literally doesn't have a street address. So what is it meaning then? Well, it's representing the place where God puts his presence. The house of God is the place where God puts his presence. When it says that God dwells in the house of God, we know it's not because he is physically there, but he is spiritually there, literally there, and can be manifested there. It is the dwelling place of the presence of God among his people. Now, in the Bible, there are three historical places that the Bible refers to as the house of God: the tabernacle, the temple, and the local church. tabernacle, temple, and the local church. Now, we know that for us this year, we've done a lot of studying on the house of God. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I am going to do just a recap. First of all, you have the tabernacle. Remember, the tabernacle was the temporary dwelling place of God. That is, the people were going through the wilderness wanderings in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. As they were getting ready to go to the promised land, God had them set up a tabernacle, a dwelling place of God. They built it, they dedicated it to the Lord, and it was the place where God's presence would dwell. If you remember, how did God manifest his presence? By the pillar of smoke in the day and the pillar of fire at night. There was a literal presence of God that when you would wake up in the morning, the sun is shining, you look out, you could see a pillar of smoke. God's presence was among his people. When you would go to sleep at night, maybe you're afraid of the dark and you look out, you could see the fire around it. God's presence was there. You had no reason to fear. God's presence was there. And God's presence among his people was a very big deal. It was a very big deal in the book of Leviticus. It was a very big deal in the wilderness wanderings. That if that pillar of smoke left during the day, they would pack up the entire encampment and follow God's presence to wherever God's presence was at. When it would stop, they would build the tabernacle and then set up the encampment around that. And of course, we spent a lot of time dealing with that earlier this year. But God desired to dwell among his people. That the house of God with the tabernacle showed that God's presence dwelling among his people. Later on, David began the process and gathering up the things to build a temple. What was the temple? The temple was the permanent dwelling place of God, whereas the tabernacle was the temporary dwelling place of God. Tabernacle was mobile, it would move around, and they would follow God's presence. In the temple, God's presence no longer needed to travel. It was going to stay put, and that you could go to God's presence and go honor the sacrifices, do reverence, go worship God, and you know where to meet him at. Where would you meet God at? You would go to his presence. You would go to his dwelling place. You would go to the place where he's at. For example, if I was to go visit one of you guys, and where would I most likely find you at? Your dwelling place, your home. If you have a permanent address, I know where to go visit you at. Hi, are you home? Look, you're home. I knew where to meet you at with the idea I was going to spend time with you. That was your presence. That was where you'd made your dwelling place. And that's what the temple was supposed to be, the permanent dwelling place with God. The permanent place where God's presence was with his people. Now, once again, I remind you that God's desire has always been to dwell with his people. God didn't want to be a God who was so distant and so far away that we never knew him. God wanted to be so close to him that he dwelt with his people. Now, the third house of God that is mentioned in the Bible, you have the tabernacle, you have the temple, and you also have in the New Testament the local church. Do you know what the local church is supposed to be? The dwelling place of God among his people in the New Testament times. Remember that the tabernacle and the temple were made for the Hebrew people. We're not Hebrew people. But God still has that desire to dwell among his people. Who are God's people today? Those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And that we have gathered together to dwell with God and to worship and honor him. That God desires to dwell among his people. Now, think about this. How does this relate to how to behave ourselves in the house of God? As members of a local church, we should be behaving ourselves as if God is with us all the time. We should behave ourselves like God sees everything. We should behave ourselves as if we were in his house. Now, we know that today manners aren't taught, but back in the old days, and those people who have common sense today, we know that when you go visit someone, that you're not familiar with, they're not considered family, but you're going to visit someone, that there are certain etiquette rules that you ought to do. There's certain things that you should not do. For example, if I go knock on your house, hey, I'm glad to see you. Hey, can you step out of the way? Let me go see what's in the fridge. Oh, that's not good etiquette. Man, I know some people do that today, but that's not what you're supposed to do. That I'm not supposed to put my dirty shoes on someone's furniture and just kind of lean back however I want. There's an etiquette. I'm in their house, their presence, and I should kind of honor them with the way that I behave. That if someone decides, whatever reason they want to, take off your shoes at the door, which I hate, but if that's their house, I obey their rules to honor them, even if it's something I don't want to do. Does that make sense? Because it's their house, their dwelling place. I am going to visit them. And even if I do have some familiarity with them and a closeness to them, I should still behave myself properly as a guest, even if I am an invited guest, a familiar guest, and a welcome guest. There are certain things. For example, even as a family welcomed guest, I don't go into the master bedroom when no one's looking and start digging in all the drawers. Right? I don't go investigate all the closets and see what I could find. That's not proper etiquette. There is a certain way I ought to behave myself in the presence of the person that I'm with, in the dwelling place of where they're at. Now, we know that for a church, which let's go to the second thing. So we understand that, first of all, that God describes the local church as the house of God, which represents the dwelling place of God, the place where God dwells, the place where God places his presence. And as members of a local New Testament church, which is the house of God for the New Testament times, we understand that it is God's house and that we are there to respect and honor him. Let's define our terms more. Notice there's a second expression here that it speaks about in verse number 15. But if I tarry long, thou oughtest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. The church of the living God. We now come to our second description. Now, with this, we need to understand a principle. Hold your finger here. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Let's define our terms. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Again, 1 Corinthians is a familiar book to us again this year. For the same principle, we're studying the house of God. 1 Corinthians helps us to understand more. Notice with me 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And notice with me, starting at verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man shall defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, inside of the tabernacle, we have the presence of God. Inside of the temple, you have the presence of God, but you could go to that. Inside of the local church, may I remind you, that the local church is not these four walls. The local church is not brick and mortar. The local church is an assembly of baptized believers who have gathered themselves together for the purpose of accomplishing the Great Commission. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that God dwells within you. You are now the dwelling place of God. You see, in those other ones, you could go to God's house and then leave. But when you come to know Christ as your Savior, you can't leave. You are the dwelling place. God lives in you. Now, what is a local church? It is a group of baptized believers who have voluntarily gathered themselves together for the purpose of accomplishing the Great Commission. We have the meeting of a local church together right now. We may meet at a place, but as we proved today, you don't have to be at a certain time. Right? We can meet on a Tuesday instead of Wednesday and we're still fine. But what makes a church? It is not the walls. It is not the building. It is the assembling of people who have God dwelling in us together. So if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. You are His house. What does that mean? Well, notice again, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now remember I said before that God is living in us, and as we said before, that you should respect the rules of the person whose house you go to. Well, may I remind you that your flesh now is no longer yours? If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, it's not your house. It's not your body. It's Jesus' body, who now lives within you. He's now made himself at home. So how do we behave ourselves in the house of God? As if God's living in you, because he is. Now, I'm a visual person, so if you don't mind, use your divine imagination. Imagine Jesus living in you. Now, we know that Jesus is bigger than us. But for visualization's sake, I want you to remember, kind of like in the old cartoon days where you get to see inside someone's chest and you can see someone living in there. So imagine a living room. Jesus is in there. Nice couch, recliner, whatever you want to see. There's a TV. So everything that you see goes on the TV. There's a nice surround sound speaker system. And everything you listen to is pumped into that speaker system. And Jesus has to listen and watch and endure everything you do. You are the dwelling place of God. And God expects his dwelling place to be holy. Let's give an illustration. We know that this church is brick and mortar, but it does represent the assembling thing together. And going to a church, there's certain things you don't do in a church if you are taught right and have proper respect, right? You don't kick back in the pews and then put your feet up on the pew before you, right? You don't take off your shoes in the middle of service and like pick your feet and clip your toenails and then leave the droppings all over. I mean, you don't do those things. Why? Because you have a respect towards God. In fact, we encourage many people to dress up to go to church. Why? Because you should have a representation that I'm going to meet the King. Now, so we understand there's certain things that we do going to a location. But remember that in the New Testament days, you're not going to a location to go to God's presence. You are God's dwelling place. That means on Monday, he goes with you to work. And everything that you see, he sees. And he has to endure. That means if you say, well, no one's watching, I'm going to see what's on YouTube really quick and watch things that I know that if my kids came in, I'd turn it off really quick. Well, you know what that means? What you're watching, you're forcing Jesus to watch in our illustration. Think about that. Do you think Jesus is going to enjoy all the things you're watching? That everything you listen to, Jesus is forced to listen to. Do you think Jesus is going to endure some of that music that you've been listening to? You understand, this is a big responsibility. You are the dwelling place of God. So we're learning how to behave ourselves in the house of God, and we're learning how to behave ourselves based off of the terms. First of all, it's called the house of God, the dwelling place of the Lord. Second of all, it is called the church of the living God, understanding that, first of all, we are that We are the dwelling place of God, but as we go back to the definition, the church of the living God. May I remind you that God's alive? He is alive. He lives. And that as we are members of that local church, remember that just because you get saved doesn't mean that you're a part of a church. You have to join a church. And when you join a church, you then also become a representative of that church, because remember, the church is not the walls. It is the assembling together of God's people. When you assemble together and become a member of the church, you become a part of it to help accomplish the Great Commission. Remember that when someone joins a church, what they're saying is that I'm putting my life and my influence in helping this local church accomplish what God's given us to do through the Great Commission. Well, because you are now a member of that local church, you are a representation of God's presence. God lives within you, but you're also a representation. How you behave out there is how people will see this local church and see the God we serve. So, if you want to go around telling all your dirty jokes and then say, oh, by the way, I'm a member of a church, don't do that. I'd rather you not pass out anything with our name on it, because that's a poor representation. Someone says, well, I just relax when I go out there. That when I go play baseball and the stupid umpire makes a bad call, I'm going to curse him out. Not if you're a member of this local church. That is not how to represent this local church. Remember, how you behave is how people see your God. Well, I like just to do whatever I want. Well, you know, they're going to see your God as not holy, as not important, not someone you should listen to. If you want to curse, if you want to drink, public intoxication should not be a part of any member of church. Why? Because people are watching and saying, well, that's what their God is like. How should we behave ourselves as a church of the living God? As if our God is living and that people need to see that our God lives. That means when we go through bad times, part of our representation is that we're acting like God's still alive even when we're hurting. That God is still real even when we're having a bad day. We're learning how to behave ourselves as the house of God. That first of all, that it's talked about the house of God, dealing with the idea of God's dwelling place, and there's a certain way that we should behave in God's house. We understand that it is the church of the living God, that Christ lives within us, and that as we assemble together as members and join a church, we also become a representation of that local church, and not just that local church, but the God that church serves. That's a big responsibility. Remember that the work of God is not done within these four walls. It's done outside of these four walls. How? By the way we live and the way we act. People say their God is real. We should have people say, I want to go to your church because I see the way that you behave. Rather than, listen, I'm never going to your church because of the way that you behave. You understand? There's a way that we should carry ourselves because we're representatives of God's local church, the church of the living God. There's one more description of a local church found in here. Notice with me back in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. We're trying to learn how to behave ourselves in the house of God. Understanding that how do we behave ourselves as Christians? How do we behave ourselves as members of a local church? That first of all, we understand that it is the house of God, the dwelling place of God, and that we need to carry ourselves in such a way that we are respectful to the house that God dwells in, that He lives in, to His rules, to be respectful when we go there. We understand that it is the church of the living God, that Christ lives within us when we accept Christ as our Savior. We join a local church and we become a representation of that local church and the God that church represents. Notice in verse 15, there is one more description that is given to a church inside of this passage. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know. I like that word know, by the way. That means God doesn't want you to hope or guess or think. He wants you to know without a doubt how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Notice this last description of a local church, the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. What is a pillar? A pillar is a foundation or something that is made to stand, not to move, that would hold up an upper level. It's a support beam to keep the rest of the building from collapsing on itself. We learn a lot about support beams. Those are important. They've got to be there, and they've got to be able to hold the weight of everything. The idea of the pillar and the ground is a different way of saying the foundation. You've got to have that foundation settled because everything on that house settles on that foundation. What is the description of a local church? It is the pillar and ground of the truth. God has designed the local church to be a place that when people are looking for answers, they know to go to a church. And the only way that happens is if the church is a place where they can find truth. You ever think about people who come to church for the first time? They're not used to going to church. Why do people go to church? They're looking for answers. Maybe they're depressed. Maybe their marriage is falling apart. Maybe their kids are falling apart. Maybe they have something going on they don't know what to do with. They're looking for answers. Maybe they just feel empty. They don't know what's going to happen. They've been worried about the future and what happens when I die. They're looking for answers. And we need to be a type of people. Remember that the local church is not the brick and mortar, but it is the assembling of the people together. We need to be a place where people can go and find the truth. They may not like the truth, but they know they're going to hear the truth. That's an important distinction. There is a lot of churches today that no longer preach the truth. That if people wanted to know how to get saved and they go to certain churches, they'll never hear. If they want to learn how to behave themselves as a member of a church, a lot of churches won't teach that. They don't find the answers. They have how to smile in bad days, how to pick yourself up by the bootstraps, how to have good days. They have all these encouraging man messages. But you know what people need the most? They need the Lord. They need to be able to see Him high, holy, and lifted up. What is the truth they're looking for? How to know God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man go to the Father but by me. You know what people need? They need to hear the Lord. They need to meet the Lord. They need to be able to see Him high, holy, and lifted up. They need to see that there's a God who can answer their prayers, a God who can answer their concerns, a God who can answer their questions, a God who can take care of their problems, a God that they could go to and depend upon. How are they going to see that? Well, we know preaching from the pulpit's important, but the behavior of the people are important. Do you know, if people come to a church and for the first time, let's say that they come in and they are depressed. They're thinking about suicide. This is my last stop. I've always heard I'm supposed to go to church. I don't know what else to do. And I come and they come on an off night. Oh, I see that they're there. I'm just going to walk in. By the way, those things happen. And they walk in. And as the preacher begins to sing and they watch as people are into it or not into it. Watermelon. They watch as the preacher begins to preach. And they go, there's no truth here. And they stop listening. Why? The behavior of the church. But if the people don't think this is important, why should that person? But when people come in and everyone has their Bibles and the preacher says, open the Bible, and everybody opens the Bible, it is fun to watch. People who are looking for answers, they don't know stuff, they'll start looking. Right, where's the Bible? Oh, find one in the pew. People who have never been it before, when it said open up and they see everyone opening their Bible, they will open up their Bible. See, we should be a type of place where people are watching us and they go, this is what I'm supposed to do. When people stand up to sing and visitors come in, they're looking for answers and everyone does it, they go, this is what I'm supposed to do. And they'll pay attention to the songs when we're singing it as if we're paying attention to the songs. You understand? All of this is important because people need to be able to find the truth. You say, well, I know the truth and I know preacher is preaching it. Yes, but you need to behave like it. Because you never know who's looking for truth. You never know who's looking for answers. And you need to be a part where you're saying, let's look at the preacher. Let's pay attention to him because what he says is important. You don't know who's watching you during a service. And your behavior makes them pay attention or not pay attention. You see, all this is important for learning how to behave ourselves in the house of God. That even on the outside, we need to behave ourselves as if we're a member of a local church that's the pillar and ground of truth. So that way you could say, I understand you got some big questions, but I know where you could go for answers. If you go to our church, we have a pastor who'd be glad to give you some answers. If you go there, you'll hear truth. We need to be that type of place where people say, I've been watching you. You have something different. Where can I learn what you have? Amen. Let me show you where you can do that. All of this is how to behave ourselves inside of the house of God. Remember, not just here in brick and mortar, but as a member of a church wherever you're at. You are either pushing people closer to the Lord or pulling people closer to the Lord or pushing them further away by our actions. Amen. Before they even have hear preacher, people have already made a decision whether they're going to listen to me or not based off of what everyone else is doing. In fact, the reason why they came here or not is probably based off of the behavior of the people on the outside. How we carry ourselves is so important because we are representatives of a living God and we're representatives of a local church that has the truth. How do we behave ourselves in the house of God? We're not talking about silly stuff that you know that you shouldn't do no matter where you're at. We're talking about how do we behave ourselves on a day-to-day basis? How do we behave ourselves? What do we say? What do we talk about? What jokes do we say? What do we laugh about? What do we listen to? What do we endure? What do we watch? What do we listen to? We're not trying to give you a list of do's and don'ts. We're trying to say you look to the Lord and be his representative. Be his ambassador, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're supposed to know how to behave ourselves as a member of this local church. So with those qualifications, I don't have to give you a list. You already know where you're at. How are you doing? Are you a good representative? Do people want to hear the truth based off of your actions? Do people have a desire to get to know your God based off of your responses? Are you a good representation of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you at a place where we rather you not pass out a tract with our name on it because we don't want to be associated with how you behave? That becomes a big deal. That thou oughtest know how they ought to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Let's go to the Lord and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And I'm asking that you would strengthen up our local church, not the brick and mortar, but the people who make up our church, that we can know how to behave ourselves, how to be the representation, how we ought to carry ourselves on a day-to-day basis. And it's all based off of you, that you're a real God, you're a living God. It is your house, your life. You own us, you own your local church, and that you want people to respond to you, to get closer to you, based off of the representation of your people. Lord, help us to take this seriously. Help us to be able to look at our lives and be able to have an honest review. Am I a type of person that brings people closer to the Lord, or the way that I behave, joke, talk, act, make people not want to have anything to do with the church that I belong to. Lord, I'm asking that you would strengthen us up even now. Maybe there's some decisions that you need to make. Maybe there's something specific that God has pointed out that you know that is not being a good representation that you need to fix. Lord, whatever the case, I'm asking you to give people courage and bravery to respond to you now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you wouldn't mind to stand to your feet. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.